You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Wednesday, February 19, 2025. Should I stay or should I go? A big propane wholesaler's exit raises questions for its peers. Published by Housley Carr. The decision by the U.S.'s largest independent propane wholesaler to exit the business serves as a reminder of the challenges and risks that companies like it face. The move also highlights the fact that at least some other independent wholesalers, including the presumed buyer of NGL Energy Partners' propane-related assets, believe that by increasing their scale and scope they can compete more effectively with their two classes of competitors, affiliates of big midstream companies and affiliates of propane retailers. In today's RBN blog, we discuss what the latest M&A activity in the propane space reveals. It's not often that you see the largest player in an energy market segment determine that it's time to hang up its cleats. But that's what happened when NGL Energy Partners, a master limited partnership, or MLP, announced on February 10th that it was selling substantially all of our wholesale propane business and had reached agreements to sell 17 of its 23 NGL terminals for $75 million and, in a separate deal, its Green Bay, Wisconsin NGL terminal for $3.8 million. The company has said that its terminals, all but two of which are located in the eastern half of the U.S., one is in Washington State and another is in Ontario, have a combined storage capacity of more than 15 million gallons and an annual throughput of more than 500 million gallons. The recently announced sales agreements would leave NGL Energy Partners with only a handful of NGL-related assets, including three NGL terminals, Chesapeake and West Point in Virginia and Port Hudson in Louisiana, and the Ambassador Pipeline, a 255-mile, 8-inch diameter propane conduit between Marysville and Kalkaska in Michigan's Lower Peninsula. NGL Energy Partners did not reveal the entity or entities buying 18 of its terminals, but RBN's understanding is that they will be purchased by Alliance Energy Services, another top-tier independent propane wholesaler. Alliance, the prospective buyer, has four NGL terminals, one each in Kentucky, Maine, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. The four Alliance terminals have more than 5 million gallons of storage capacity. NGL Energy Partners' propane-related transactions, along with the MLP's plan to wind down its biodiesel operations, will leave the company with two remaining lines of business, one gathering, recycling and/or disposing of produced water from oil and gas production in the Permian, the Eagle Ford and the Denver-Julesburg DJ Basin, and two, transporting, storing, and blending crude oil, primarily via its 150,000 barrels per day Grand Mesa pipeline from the DJ to its 3.6 million barrels oil storage and blending terminal at the Cushing, Oklahoma oil hub, and other smaller pipeline and storage assets. In updating its biodiesel wind down and announcing its exit from the propane market, NGL Energy Partners CFO Brad Cooper said that by leaving the two businesses, we have eliminated a total of $60 million to $70 million of working capital on average per year. He added, these strategic actions are the next step in our strategy to simplify the asset base, reduce working capital, smooth out the seasonality of our EBITDA and free cash flow, and ultimately reduce debt by selling non-core assets at attractive deleveraging multiples. As we said in our ongoing series about the propane sector, you realize, propane wholesalers, companies that sell propane to retailers, have four primary functions: supply aggregation, acquiring propane from multiple sources, operating logistics networks to ensure the timely delivery of propane across regions, product trading, physical trading and financial hedging, and midstream integration and wholesale competition. We also noted there are three primary types of propane wholesalers in the U.S., affiliates of large midstreamers like Enterprise Products Partners and Targa Resources, which are involved in gas processing, fractionation and pipelines, independent wholesalers like NGL Energy Partners and Alliance Energy Services, its prospective buyer, which source propane from midstreamers and distribute it to retailers, and retail affiliates, which are usually large companies selling to much smaller companies. RBN estimates that midstreamer affiliates handle about half the wholesale volumes to retailers, independent wholesalers handle 30% to 35%, and retail affiliates the remaining 15% to 20%. It could be argued that, of these three types, independent wholesalers, like NGL Energy Partners, the focus of today's blog, have the toughest row to hoe. They have no primary business to support their wholesale marketing activities. Here's what we mean. Midstreamers are in the wholesale propane business as a channel for products of their primary businesses of processing natural gas, transporting mixed NGLs, aka Y-grade, and fractionating those liquids. The storage and transportation assets they need to support those operations can be leveraged into their wholesale propane marketing business. Similarly, large retail companies in the propane business make their money in downstream markets, selling propane to homes and businesses. They also need storage and transportation assets to support those primary activities and can get extra mileage out of them by providing wholesale services to the market. In contrast, independent wholesalers must survive on storage and transportation dedicated solely to the wholesale market. And that's no small feat because the wholesaler usually provides one of the costliest and frequently the most thankless functions of wholesale propane marketing, the seasonal ratio. Here's the challenge. Propane is produced ratably. The same volumes come off the fractionator or out of the refinery each day. In industry parlance, a 1-to-1 volumetric ratio. But propane demand, anything but ratable. It soars in the winter and suffers in the summer, sometimes with a 2-to-1, 3-to-1, 4-to-1 or even higher ratio. Someone must store volumes in the summer to make them available in the winter or use some other market balancing trick to transform the 1-to-1 into what the market needs. That someone is usually the wholesaler. And it is the cost and working capital requirements of this function that can add so much to the burden of a wholesale propane marketer. Of course, that's not the only financial challenge to an independent propane wholesaler. They also must maintain enough storage and transportation assets to support the market in a cold winter, even in warm winters when only some of those assets are not needed, and thus are not supported by the fees that help keep the wholesaler in business. Further, they must hold inventories even in those years where propane prices are lower in the winter than they are in the summer, a phenomenon that happens every 3 or 4 years. And if that weren't enough, propane wholesalers also have to deal with the challenges of moving over half of their product by a railcar, even when they can be treated as second-class citizens by some railroads that often do not value the small volume, seasonal nature of wholesale propane rail movements. It's a tough business. Of course, many independent wholesalers have managed to execute well and profit from dealing with these challenges. But it's not for the faint of heart. Should I Stay or Should I Go is written by Topper Hedon, Mick Jones, Paul Simonon, and Joe Strummer, and appears as the third track on side one of The Clash's fifth studio album, Combat Rock. It was originally released as a single in May 1982, where it went to number 45 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. After being featured in a Levi's Jean television commercial, the song was re-released in February 1991 and went to number 1 on the UK singles chart, and made the top 10 on several European charts. The song borrowed heavily from the 1960s Righteous Brothers hit Little Latin Lupe Lou, and featured the lead vocals of Mick Jones. The lyrics were rumored to have been written about Jones's relationship with singer Ellen Foley. Personnel on the record were Mick Jones, guitar, lead vocals, Joe Strummer, guitar, backing vocals, Paul Simonon, bass, backing vocals, Topper Hedon, drums, and Joe Ely, backing vocals. Combat Rock was recorded between September 1981 and April 1982 at Electric Lady Studios in New York City, Ear Studios in London, and Warnford Studio in Hampshire, England. Produced by The Clash with Glyn Johns, the album was released in May 1982. It went to number 7 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 3 singles were released from the LP. The Clash was an English punk rock band formed in London in 1976 by Joe Strummer, Mick Jones, Paul Simonon, and Topper Hedon. Hedon left the band in 1982 and Jones in 1983. The group continued with new members, but officially broke up in 1986. 10 members passed through The Clash after its inception. They released 6 studio albums, 2 live albums, 9 compilation albums, 2 EPs, and 31 singles. The band was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in March 2003. Joe Strummer went on to form various solo projects, Mick Jones formed Big Audio Dynamite, and Paul Simonon formed Havana 3AM. Joe Strummer died in December 2002. In 2007, director Julian Temple released the Joe Strummer biopic Joe Strummer, The Future is Unwritten, along with a soundtrack to the film.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.